RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Why don't you come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey. Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague. Joe Fisher III, Rashad Taylor, sitting in here today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, we will have the Orange Bowl preview show brought to you by Tullamore Dew, the original Irish whiskey. And that will be a show with Andy Dirt Johnson, Anthony Newman, and Jason Big Sook Sakanik. How about that? What a trio right there to get
That'll
you ready
be
for.
Fun.
Yeah, get you ready for the Orange Bowl. And that will lead you up right to the, dear God, what's the game on New Year's Eve?
That's the Cotton Bowl.
Which is?
Miami and Ohio State.
Yes, correct.
Haven't committed that to memory yet.
That's right. I knew it. I was testing you. You just sent out the schedule, the programming schedule for this week. I want to make sure that you still had it all dialed in. Yeah, that'll be the first game on New Year's Eve, and then Orange Bowl will be on New Year's Day, 9 a.m., I mean, we got screwed. We were like, what are we going to do? 9 a.m. for an Orange Bowl game? Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a watch party out at Grand Central Bowl. 9 a.m.
That's fun.
Opening early. Yeah. I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to be there the whole time, if I'm going to show up at halftime.
Be fashionably late.
Well, I also don't know. Like, I don't know. It says on this read here that come watch it with the fan at Grand Central Bowl. I feel like the fan is a kind of umbrella statement.
Like they're asking us to be there, but not actually saying, like,
I don't think Isaac Ropp is going to be at Grand Central Bowl.
I can almost guarantee you won't.
But who will be? I don't know. Show up and find out. I'm sure that we'll be like giving stuff away and t-shirts, and I'm sure Schultz will be there fist pumping people too hard, and I might be there for the whole game. I might show up at halftime, but me and Schultzy will be there for the Dick Cannon Dealership postgame scoreboard show after the Orange Bowl. So stick around, hang out. They got great food. I will definitely say that. I have had multiple different meals there at Grand Central Bowl. Breakfast burrito.
Mm-hmm.
I had a breakfast burger there as well.
Ooh.
They both hit. They both slapped. Might have to go biscuits and gravy.
It's
this
really
time.
Hard to mess up breakfast. You know, I actually make a mean biscuits and gravy, if you didn't know that, man.
Dude, I got to have some B&G here. Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely going to have some B&G.
Absolutely.
I did gourmet French toast.
Gourmet French toast. Some brioche?
Brioche.
Yep, there it is.
Homemade spiked whipped cream with amaretto.
Ooh.
Yeah,
look at
we're not messing around.
With a strawberry, raspberry reduction, possibly?
Blueberries, raspberries.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Could just do regular syrup, right?
No.
Yeah, who wants that?
I finally figured out, though, how to make, like, thick pancakes, because my pancakes used to be, like, paper thin. Not like crepes, but, you know, just thin, wide ones, right?
The batter pancakes. Can't be runny.
No, it kind of, like, was, like, one of those duh moments where I'm like, of course, Fisher, don't overbeat the batter, don't put too much water. And so, yeah, I made some pancakes the other day for the boy and I, and I made them nice and thick. Good girth on those things.
Ooh.
Yeah,
a good thick pancake. Like, and I think I'm more of a French toast guy, and always kind of have been. But If there is a good a pancake batter, then I'm all in all day.
Like 10 inches and girthy.
Mm.
That was my pancakes the other day.
Yeah, there is a couple. Have you had any of those, like, I think it's somewhere close, like the man cakes from, what is it? I think it's right around here. I forget the name of the place. Stepping Stone Cafe.
That's what my girlfriend calls me, man cakes.
Oh, that was going, yeah.
I got that Fisher ass.
I can see it.
Oh, yeah, I'm caked up. Ooh, I'm looking at them right now. Man cakes?
Yeah.
Yeah, massive. Yeah, that's essentially what I'm going for. Just real thick boys.
Yeah, thick and like the size of a plate. Like, yeah. That sounds, you know, that's definitely a cheat day type thing.
Mm. Well, now that I got those tacos out of me, I can definitely talk about some food room. Again. I'm all for food talk.
Speaking of tacos, man, my wife and I stayed at the Eastland Hotel the other day. Just out of fun. Like, we wanted a night away from the kids and everything like that. They have a nice little rooftop bottle jacket bar right now.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, don't do that.
Excuse me.
You can stop playing. That's for Saturdays only, man.
That was a misfire.
These good folks don't have to hear any of that stuff. But I had some of the best carnitas tacos I've ever had in my life. Dude. Probably the best I've ever
had. Love me some carnitas.
Yeah, so you get a chance, man. Get up there and get some. They were legit.
Some carnitas, maybe some al pastor.
I might go up there and just get them just today for lunch just anyway.
Al pastor, whenever I think of al pastor tacos, Jeff Rust, he got me with this. He didn't know what al pastor was like a year or so ago on air.
Did he think it was like a bad televangelist or something? No,
he thought it was an old baseball player. So he's like, is that an old baseball
position
player?
Did he play?
And I was like, actually, now that you say it, that definitely does sound like an old baseball player.
That's a pretty
player.
Badass name.
Now up to bat, Al Pastor. Can I get a Hillsborough Hops?
Sounds like
Swigart announcing Al Pastor.
Al
up
Pastor
to the
sounds like he could be a great pitcher.
Now batting. Left fielder, number 37, Al Pastor.
There you go. I love that.
Yeah, that's definitely a baseball player. I'm convinced that was a baseball player that they then named the taco meat after. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not a big fan of El Pastor, though. It's okay.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, a little pineapple taste to it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Mm, yummy. What are we talking about here? Oh, college football playoffs. Second round. It's finally here, which I am here to say I'm done. I'm done waiting this long. I don't know what we got to do to fix the schedule. We seem to not care about tradition at all anymore. So if that means we need to play games the same weekend as Army Navy, if we need to give Army Navy like the 9 a.m. slot and then have two games played that Saturday and then I don't care. We got to figure this out. The fact that the Oregon Ducks have played one game since Thanksgiving was like 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
And the fact that obviously the first round, like I can't believe that I sat around last year, waited this long for the Ducks to play their first playoff game last year. Just having to wait this long for the second round of playoff games, I can't do it anymore. Whatever they got to do to fix the format next year, whether they move it to 16, whether they keep it at 12, I don't know, but move everything up so that way we're not having to wait this long for the second round of playoff games.
Do we really need New Year's Eve games?
I mean,
because that's why they're doing this. That's right. That's why they pushed everything out to the season. They want to make sure we have New Year's Eve, New Year's Day games, and then stuff after that. Like, I'm one of those people that I don't care because I don't want the national championship played on January 29th or whenever it gets played. Like, it'd be great to have it done early January. So I would like it to start like conference championship is over. Boom. Next week, playoff. Let's move.
Yeah,
like, let's,
I'm
like,
with you.
Why do we have to wait this many weeks for these games to get started? Rust is a real thing, and if you think the Ducks are rusty, man, imagine if you are Ohio State right now, if you're Indiana, and like the Ducks has been a long time since they played. These cats haven't played for a month now, a little over a month and a half.
Yeah, conference championship weekend, that was the weekend after Thanksgiving,
if you see a majority of the top four seeds losing again like they did last year,
they'll change it,
then yeah. There will be, that's more likely to get things to go to 16, so everybody is playing the same amount all the way through, if Indiana goes down to Bama, if Ohio State goes down to that's probably the one there. If Ohio State goes down to Miami, look out. Somebody's hauling somebody into a room somewhere and saying, okay, we're fixing this permanently moving forward.
Yeah, I'm sick of the wait. I'm getting antsy. Having to wait this long just for this game, like the James Madison game was enough to satiate my Ducks football appetite for long enough, but having to wait this long for a meaningful matchup, it's really sticking in my craw at the point where I'm just like, all right, we need to fix this. Like I said, they piss on every other tradition in college football. They seemingly don't care about anything tradition-wise in NFL or in college football that, you know, if we're dedicating a whole weekend off to Army-Navy, screw it. Have it be by itself, 9 a.m., whatever, on that day, and have two playoff games that Saturday. I know you don't want to go up against the NFL, but you're still football. People are still going
to
watch.
And it's meaningful football, so people are going to care.
Put it on a Sunday. Put two games. I know you don't want to go up against it, but you're going to get – I would – if you put – college football playoff games, first round games, depending on what the matchups are. If you have those on Sunday week 14 or whatever it is, I would probably watch those versus whatever NFL games are going on that day. I know NFL is king, but I'm telling you, college football is a huge deal to some geographic areas in this country that if you have Alabama in a first round playoff game, yeah, there's going to be more people watching that than NFL in the state of Alabama or in the South in general.
Yeah.
I would just much prefer if we move things up a little bit here so that way we're not having to wait a month and a half for meaningful football. But I digress. Let's get into some of the matchups. We are going to actually talk to someone tomorrow concerning the Miami-Ohio State game. Just because I think that that matchup, as far as what it means to this area, the former Oregon head coach being the coach at Miami, Mario Cristobal, the opponent, Ohio State, who Oregon knows very well throughout the last couple of years in regular season and college football play. And I just think that's a very intriguing matchup as well. But let's start with the Sugar Bowl, Ole Miss, Georgia. That is the game, the nightcap on New Year's Eve, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. We will start there next. Here, Dirt and Sprague, Joe Fish, Rashad Taylor on the Fan Sports Network.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting into some more college football here. I do hear you. I do hear you on the YouTube chat. I want a little Seahawks talk here. We'll get to it. We've got a couple days left here. Want to get to the NFL landscape and the rest of what's happening here. This is also a station in Portland, Oregon. You know, so, you know, we don't have to talk about Seattle everything all the time. So settle down. We'll get to some Seahawks stuff tomorrow. because Rashad and I will be sitting in today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Got a lot to get to over the next few days, especially when it comes to playoffs, because we got some playoff matchups. We got Ducks, obviously, on New Year's Day. New Year's Eve, we have, what was it again there, Swag? Ohio State, Miami on New Year's. Swag's got the schedule locked in on The Fan, 910 ESPN Portland, 10, on 910, 1080, all the signals. We got Miami, Ohio State on New Year's Eve. Ah, I remember that because I reached out to a dude for Miami for the Daily Ticker tomorrow. I told him I did not want to talk to him on Wednesday because he was probably going to be pretty busy on Wednesday. So that's how I know that the New Year's Eve game is Miami, Ohio State. Alabama, Indiana, that will be at 1 o'clock on New Year's Day. But the last game of the second round, Ole Miss, Georgia, 6.5-point favorite in that one. Boy, I really want Ole Miss to win this game. I'm not saying they don't have a chance. Their offense has not missed a beat since Lane left. Obviously, you played Tulane, so you know. But they have their offense has looked pretty good against Tulane to the point where I'm like, man, not to say that they don't need Lane Kiffin, but the players are the ones that win the game, man. Obviously, coaching decisions, that is definitely something that comes down to, you know, deciding what happens in the game. But the way that they looked against Tulane, and I think they kind of just have this, I don't know if it's a revenge factor, if you will, a prove everybody wrong factor, where they want to go out and make some noise and try and make a run here in the playoffs. I wonder if their defense is going to be up to the task against a Georgia offense who's put up some points this year. I mean, I'm very intrigued at how this game plays out, if it's just Georgia keeps them at arm's length the entire time, makes Trinidad Chambliss' life hell for four quarters. But Georgia's defense this year, it's not like they have been world beaters by any point. This game is, on paper, one of the more intriguing ones to me because of the fact that Ole Miss's offense has looked as good as it did against Tulane. And then at the end of the year, even with all the questions during the Egg Bowl, if Lane Kiffin was going to stay, if they were going to go, their offense showed up in that game. I think that Ole Miss does have the chip on their shoulders of let's go show them that the players win the games, the players go out and perform, and that, you know, Lane Kiffin is not the one out here winning the games for us. It is the truly the team and the players.
Well, that's usually been the case for Lane Kiffin. Like, he's been the biggest star at the colleges he's coached at for the most part. This is the one time where I truly think Trinidad Chambliss is the biggest star on campus, you know, at this point. And so I think from that respect, they're going to be just fine because he's had really a Heisman caliber season and he's been really their leader. And let's go back. I think people kind of assumed that because Georgia beat Ole Miss before, that it was like a blowout win. They didn't blow them out. No, they won by like 7-8.
Georgia had to come back in that game.
Yeah,
too.
No, and they came back. They scored 17 unanswered in the fourth quarter. And I think there's a part of Ole Miss that feels like they gave that game away because they were winning. They should have won. And then the fourth quarter came and it just got out of hand for them. So that revenge factor is definitely out there for this team. I think Georgia's just really good everywhere, though. Gunnar Stockton is a really good college quarterback, man. Nate Frazier, that run attack that they have from Georgia can be really, really scary. So, but for three quarters, Ole Miss was able to handle it, and they were able to fire back. They were able to compete. And that fourth quarter came around, and it just kind of fell apart for them. As long as they don't let something like that happen again, I think they have enough talent on that field to be able to compete with Georgia. Like, they won all but one of their games this season, and it was to who? Georgia. And so I think they've got that in their mind that they should still be undefeated, potentially with the top four seed in this playoff, but you play who's in front of you. And I think it's going to be another great game because if you go back and look at some of the highlights from the last game, you can go back on YouTube and watch the whole game in like 20 minutes. But that was a phenomenal game back and forth, and Chambliss played incredible in that game. Unfortunately, Gunnar Stockton and that team were just too much in the fourth quarter.
The one thing that is not going in the favor of Ole Miss is that, and I mentioned Georgia's defense at points this year has not been like Georgia defense-esque where it's just dominant. It's looked like that the last few weeks. their game against Alabama in the SEC championship. Absolutely shut down Alabama, especially in the run game.
Georgia, didn't score a lot, but yeah.
Georgia Tech, same thing. It seemed like Georgia Tech defensively knew what to do to help shut Georgia down offensively, but I mean, Georgia's defense and that completely eliminated Haynes King and anything that that team wanted to do. The week before that, they played Charlotte. Go figure. They held them to 3 points. Texas, I mean, that was a close game going into the fourth quarter, and then Georgia ended up running away with it, but holding Texas to 10 points in that one. So over the last four games, Texas has given up 29 points over the last four games. You want to talk about playing really good defense at the right time, heading into a championship run? Georgia's defense is doing that.
Georgia, Kirby Smart knows what he's doing. Kirby Smart has been here before. He's really kind of taken the mantle from Nick Saban as the coach in the SEC since Saban's kind of left. So this is a great opportunity for him to go out there and beat a really good conference opponent, but also in this playoff. And this is the Orange Bowl. What is this one? What game is this?
I'm not going to lie that the whole mix-up of conferences, not
Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, not playing the normal bowl games, yeah. It does throw me for a loop because I don't know who the hell is playing in what game.
Got to be honest, guys. I don't love it. I hate it.
The Sugar Bowl in its traditional New Year's night slot from New Orleans. The Rose Bowl. They did get the Rose Bowl to move up the kick time 1 hour.
Well, that's, I mean, helpful. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
This is a very SEC matchup, though, having Ole Miss, Georgia playing in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. So there is that.
Yeah, they tried to keep the traditional conference alignments with those bowl games intact.
Did these games need to be bowl games, though? Like, I don't love the idea.
Well, this is the problem. From the business standpoint, they have long standing, and I don't know how long the contracts are with those particular bowl games. And if they completely want to start from scratch and do the college football playoff all in and of itself, they have to get out of those contracts. And I don't know how much money that involves. Certainly millions, but I don't know if it's tens of millions, hundreds of millions. I don't know where they're at. And so once they figure out how to undo those or let them expire, not renew them going forward with the Sugar and the Rose and the Orange and the Cotton and those, then you can go just do your own system whatsoever.
There are 12 great teams in college football, at least as far as the playoff is concerned, right? 12 teams in the playoff. So that means there are another 13 teams in that top 25 that are going to get some BS bowl game like the Pop-Tarts
Bowl. Do not besmirch the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
I absolutely will.
Absolutely not.
How many more people would watch
that
game?
Do not besmirch the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl brought to you by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Who was in the Pop-Tarts Bowl?
BYU and Georgia Tech.
Would you have been more inclined to watch that if it were the Orange Bowl?
I mean, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but the Pop-Tarts Bowl, I could give a damn about.
Well, you do have Pop-Tart mascots on the sidelines doing all sorts of crazy hijinks.
Stop traffic. You know, let me make sure I get that. But, yeah, so I just think it's a farce to have these great bowl games that essentially aren't going to matter. Somebody's going to win the Sugar Bowl and then lose the next game.
Like, I am in favor of making the semifinal and national championship game bowl games. Like
neutral site.
Like, Rose Bowl always has to be one of the three. Like, whether it's a semifinal or the national championship, doesn't matter.
The problem
the Rose Bowl
is the Rose
always
Bowl
has to be
is
one
not
of those.
Moving from New Year's Day.
No.
I mean, they had to
point,
move heaven and earth to get them to move the kickoff from 2 to 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't care down there.
But if Oregon played Texas Tech in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, are you not going to watch it if that was the second round?
That's true. And I would watch it even more than I do now because the Pop-Tarts Bowl is great. It's the people's national championship, damn it. Yeah, I'm
saying that.
And it's a great point, Swag, about the Rose Bowl being on New Year. I mean, another point to figuring out this schedule to where you can move things up a little bit so that way possibly you're playing the semifinal on New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. But I'm excited for this Ole Miss-Georgia matchup. Georgia, obviously the favorite, 6.5. Defenses look great, but I am very intrigued to see if Ole Miss's offense is able to kind of stay the course how they've been looking the last couple weeks or the last games that they played, because Again, Mississippi State, everybody was watching that Egg Bowl to see if they were going to lay a dud because of the Lane Kiffin news. They didn't. Then they go out and play Tulane in their first round, and they score four less points than they did when they played Tulane at the beginning of the season. So that game has me super intrigued. Keeping it in college football here, we're going to take a break from playoff talk. We're going to go over to Michigan because we're going to have Adam McMahon on from Ann Arbor News. We're going to talk about the crazy 2-3 weeks that Michigan has gone through, which has now led to them having their new head coach, Kyle Whittingham. We do that next here on Dirt and Sprague, Joe Fish and Rashad Taylor.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Today's Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing Sparkle Hops. Sparkle into the new year with the hops you love and fruity flavors with Pelican's non-alcoholic hop-infused sparkling refreshers.
Daily Ticker time here on Dirt and Sprague. Joe Fish and Rashad Taylor sitting in with you, sticking with college football. But we're just going away from the playoffs for a second because there was some huge news in the college football coaching world over the extended weekend. And it was up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, as they found their new Michigan man, their new head coach, Kyle Whittingham. And we're bringing on right now Aaron McMahon, Michigan football beat writer for Ann Arbor News and MLive.com. You can find him on Twitter, X, at Aaron McMahon, M-C-M-A-N-N, to cover all things Michigan Wolverine football. Aaron, just describe to me what the last 2-3 weeks have been like for you as a beat writer for this program, because it has been an absolute wild ride considering where this started and obviously where it's ended over the last couple of days with the new hire for Michigan.
Yeah, guys, I've been covering this team since 2017, so I got a lot of Jim Harbaugh, and there was a lot of flirtation with him in the NFL going back a few years ago. And then you had the NCAA violations and whatnot, the Connor Stallions thing. But yeah, the last 3 weeks has probably taken the cake between Sherrone Moore's firing and his subsequent police investigation and incident, you know, being jailed there. And then, yeah, Michigan having to go out and find a new head coach at a time where it certainly wasn't ideal, right? Like it's probably never ideal to have to go find a head coach. But with the timing here was just not good. I mean, Michigan basically missed the boat on the coaching cycle, missed out on some of the hot candidates, some of the bigger names. So they had to kind of, you know, pivot from there and find someone that they could get in here quickly and stabilize the program. And they believe they've done that with Kyle Whittingham.
How has the team chemistry really been holding up since all of this coaching chaos? You know, have players kind of rallied around each other, or has the transition been a little more of a distraction for those players?
Yeah, I mean, from the vibes we've gotten, it's been surprisingly positive. Michigan's only had 3 opt-outs for the bowl game, and I think we expected some more. Yes, Michigan doesn't really have the high-end NFL talent that maybe we've become accustomed to, but in a situation like this where you lose your head coach during bowl prep, there's an interim head coach, you don't know what's going to happen next year. Michigan, from what we've been told, they held off on signing financial agreements for next year with the players. So there was a lot of things in limbo here. Not there wasn't a lot known. And quite frankly, Michigan's interim head coach, Biff Poggi, said just last week that he expected upwards of a couple dozen opt-outs, and that just hasn't materialized. So from a player perspective, it seems like they're holding it together. There's obviously a lot of unknown with a new coach coming in. What guys are going to have to make decisions on whether they're going to stay or find a new home elsewhere. But right now, Michigan seems like they're at least preparing and getting ready to play a football game.
Well, you mentioned Biff Poggi, interim head coach. I mean, I'm looking at a quote from your article that saying Kyle Whittingham, just what the doctor ordered for Michigan. And we're familiar with Kyle Whittingham, you know, former Pac-12 team, Utah, Oregon and Utah had many matchups over the years. And we're familiar with Whittingham as a coach, as a man as well. When did you start to hear the rumblings and start to hear, like, wow, this could be a real possibility that Michigan lands Whittingham as their head coach?
Well, if you recall, he stepped down from Utah a couple of weeks ago, and right, almost simultaneously when the Michigan job became open. So I think right away there were some folks wondering, you know, could Whittingham be an option here? Could he be someone that Michigan looks at? And I think as time went on, You know, we spoke to Michigan's athletic director, Ward Manuel, actually yesterday about this, and it sounded like Michigan at least reached out to Whittingham relatively quickly. I don't know if he was, in fact, I know he was not their first choice. They were clearly interested in Kalen DeBoer and some other hot names. But when circumstances changed here, I think Whittingham became, the obvious safe spot here, right? Like, he's a veteran coach. He's been doing it a very long time. He's had a lot of success. You know, he's got a clean track record. He's well respected in the industry. So I think the Michigan realized some of their other options weren't available or just weren't interested. They pivoted to Whittingham, and that's kind of how this materialized. And my understanding is it got serious about a week ago, and then the deal was officially struck Friday, and he was introduced here in Orlando yesterday.
You know, Coach Whittingham is known for his defensive background and that kind of spread offense philosophy. Getting ready for this bowl game, how has he started implementing his vision in the small amount of time he's had with this Michigan squad?
Yeah, he's kind of been hands-off at this point. I know he's meeting with players at this in these next couple of days. I know he's spoken to the coach and kind of let them know that, hey, most of you won't be retained. But he said yesterday he's kind of going to stay in the background as Michigan continues their preparations for the bowl game. Biff Poggi is going to be their head coach. He's still leading practices. The Michigan coaching staff is still there. So Whittingham is still kind of lurking behind the scenes, trying to fill out his staff and figure out who's going to be available next year. But I mean, in terms of X's and O's and scheme, I do think there's a lot of similarities in terms of the fit here. I mean, Michigan very much is known for the physicality, winning the line of scrimmage, and running the football, and that's a lot of what you know, he's had success doing, especially the last couple of years at Utah. He was Utah was second in the country in yards per carry. They had a very good rushing offense and a dual threat quarterback. So there's a lot to like here. The fit makes sense based on just the past success Michigan's had with that type of that type of offense. And then he spoke to the need to win the line of scrimmage, including the defensive side of the ball. So it makes on its face that the hire makes a whole lot of sense. Schematically, he fits in what Michigan's been able to do the last couple of decades.
Well, he kind of hit on it a couple questions ago about kind of the players and which guys are opting out or possibly looking at transferring. I mean, from the players that you've talked to, administrators, people in the front office for the program, I mean, what are the vibes like? Is it kind of like everybody is like, well, hell, we're back on board? Like, some of the kids that were thinking of transferring are like, you get a coach like this and this changes everything. What are the vibes like this in the locker room with the players and, again, the administrators and everything?
A lot of wait and see. I think the players are set to meet with Whittingham over the next couple of days. I think get their one-on-one talks with him to kind of get his idea of what he wants to do. But, you know, as I said, that his plan and his scheme and the schematic stuff, I think, is a good fit. Now, it's one thing to have it schematically and being a individual fit, and that's something that I think the players are going to have to decide. I mean, all eyes are on quarterback Bryce Underwood,
right?
Some of Michigan's running backs, their talented freshman receiver Andrew Marsh. Will he elect to return? So I think right now players are waiting to hear from Whittingham directly in terms of what they want to do. I will say this. Whittingham told us yesterday his first player meeting was with the quarterback Underwood, the former five-star recruit out of high school. He paid a lot of money, and I think he's going to be someone that Michigan certainly wants to keep.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, if there's one player that you're going to meet with immediately, that he chose the right one there.
Exactly.
I want to ask you about the bowl game. So Citrus Bowl is coming up, obviously, for Texas against Michigan. And, you know, Texas has a really potent offense. Michigan has an elite defense. But which Michigan squad or group do you really feel like is going to do the best job of controlling the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, it's a good question. They're down one of their starting offensive line, and quite frankly, Michigan's offensive line hasn't been very good this year. So I'm curious to see how they hold up. But I think if Michigan's win this football game, they got to do a couple things. They're gonna have to control the line of scrimmage defensively and limit Texas on the ground. And then, you know, I'm curious to see what this Michigan offense looks like, because, you know, all year we've been waiting on them to kind of open things up from a passing standpoint. And there have been a couple of games where they were able to do so, but Michigan was still very much focused on the ground. They had one of the best rushing attacks in the country, rightfully so. Both of their running backs are either out or banged up in this game. And look, I think there's a new play caller, and they lost their offensive coordinator to Missouri about a week ago. So I think there's a lot to prove in this game. I think they're going to want to get Bryce Underwood out and throwing the football and just trying to open things up and play more run and shoot, something I think Michigan fans wanted to see more of early this year and just quite frankly didn't get to it. So I don't know what version of Michigan we're going to see here. I'm very curious just because, you know, there's just not a lot to play for at this point. This isn't a playoff game, and obviously the coaching staff is going to change here. But Michigan, I think, is going to let it all hang out on Wednesday, and I'm curious to see what that looks like.
And real quickly, have you been able to chat with Coach Whittingham just yet since he's gotten the job?
Yeah, we spoke to him yesterday at the introductory press conference here in Orlando. We got him for a good 30 minutes. He kind of laid out his vision, you know, a tough, gritty, physical, rugged football team, very much, you know, in the DNA of the Michigan team. You know, as I said, he's planning to meet with all the players individually. He's met with some of the staff. I know he's forming his own staff. There's talk of him taking BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. He's looking at, I think, his offensive coordinator at Utah, Jason Beck, to come in. So there's going to be a wholesale change to the coaching staff as well. So a lot of change going on in Ann Arbor, something they really haven't seen in a long time. I mean, Jim Harbaugh was hired here in 2015. He left a couple of years ago, and Sherrone Moore was on Jim Harbaugh's staff for much of that run. So this is going to be a wholesale change, something Michigan fans haven't seen in a very long time.
Well, I know that out here, again, we had a lot of battles against those Utah teams, Oregon Ducks, Oregon State fans as well. But one thing held true is that I think that everybody out here was a fan of Kyle Whittingham's and how he ran that program. So I know that once you do actually get to talk to him one-on-one, you're going to realize that you guys got a great coach out there. It's going to be fun covering him. And, yeah, we're just very intrigued about the story of as college football fans, but, again, the connection out there and to see how this all plays out for Michigan Wolverines. But, Aaron, wanted to thank you for coming on last minute. Know that I frantically emailed you to join us, but with the story breaking over the weekend, definitely wanted to get the Michigan side of things. So appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, glad to do it, guys.
That was Aaron McMahon, Michigan football beat writer of Ann Arbor News, MLive.com. You can find him on Twitter at Aaron McMahon, AaronMCMANN. He is reporting out from Orlando right now as they're getting ready for their bowl game against Texas. Today's Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Sparkle Hop. Sparkle into the new year with the hops you love and fruity flavors with Pelican's non-alcoholic hop-infused sparkling refreshers. Take a quick break, and we'll get right back into the Michigan story here with Kyle Whittingham as their new head coach. Do that next here at Dirt and Sprague, FanSports Network.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts. Just
call my name. Welcome back into Dirt and Sprague, sans Dirt and Sprague. They are off this week. Rashawn and I will be filling in Monday, which is today, Tuesday and Wednesday. Also, you can enter to win a 4-pack of tickets to the 66th annual Portland Boat Show, Thursday, January 7th through Sunday, the 11th. Check out the best prices, top brands, and compare hundreds of boats to buy all under one roof at the Portland Expo Center. Enter now. Oh, we're giving away tickets. How about that? Enter now at 1051thefan.com or grab 2-for-1 discount coupons at pdxboatshow.com. Even if you don't want to buy a boat, looking at boats is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
one of
sick.
My favorite things to do.
Just look at boats.
Seriously. Sometimes I just go down to the marina and I just stay there and look. Seriously. No, for real. There's a nice little dock that I go to. I sit there and take some
pack a little picnic.
Yeah, you know, among other things. And just take a look at some of the boats and some dragon boats come by and everything. It's pretty dope.
Just talked to Aaron McMahon from MLive.com, Ann Arbor News. How about this? He is a AP, a Heisman, and a Biletnikoff voter. But we were talking to him about the Michigan hiring of Kyle Whittingham. Because that news, bro, gosh, what was that? On Friday? Friday or Saturday,
yeah,
the news broke of them hiring Kyle Whittingham. I can't think of like a situation like this where a college team had to enter the coaching cycle this late and to come out this fortunate by getting Kyle Whittingham. Like, it all just sort of fell into his lap. And what also shocked me was him saying like, oh yeah, he wasn't their first choice. I'm like,
yeah, that sounds crazy.
Like, I understand he wasn't your first choice, but if Kyle Whittingham is your second or third or fourth choice, screw you, but also good for you, because if you can get Kyle Whittingham they signed him to a 5-year deal, but he said, I think his quote was like, this is my final task, is to try and win a championship, you know, and doing it at Michigan. I mean, dude, Michigan fans have got to be just over the moon excited and happy about how this played out. Obviously, the human element of Sharon Moore and how that all – that sucks.
Washes that taste out of your mouth a little bit, though.
Yeah, I mean, Wink Martindale, their DC the other day, like, he was, like, crying in the press conference because he was just like, you know, I know this is a great story for everybody out there, but, this, you know, these are humans we're talking about. So, yes, it is pretty crappy how this has played out because of the situation at hand, but if you're a Michigan fan, you have to be absolutely ecstatic that you are getting Kyle Whittingham as your coach after what has transpired. It's unreal.
Absolutely, you are. Like, you went from Harbaugh, who was a game changer for you, you know, brought you, put you back, you know, in a prominent position, and then Sharon Moore, you know, was a good coach, and I think it was more of a better story than anything else. But now you're getting one of the best coaches in college football. Just him being in Utah, he didn't win a national championship. Did he ever make the playoff? I don't think he ever made the playoff.
No, the best season that they had with him is when they went to the Rose Bowl.
Couple Rose Bowl season,
and played Ohio State.
Yeah.
But that was not a playoff game.
But I think of another former Utah coach and him leaving Utah and becoming one of the most iconic coaches in college football for a long time, and that was Urban Meyer. And I look at Kyle Whittingham and say, look what he was able to do offensively. Look what he was able to do defensively with teams in the Pac-12 that probably shouldn't have been competing there, right? You look at those Utah teams, and then you look at those Stanford and Oregon and USC teams, and like, yeah, one of these is not like the other, but Utah has been a constant in the Pac-12 for a long time. So them getting this coach is huge, considering they needed a hard-nosed guy. They don't have to preach the Michigan way to Whittingham, right? He knows how to play hard-nosed, run the ball down your throat football. That's just kind of, you know, what he's always hung his hat on. But now you can add that spread offense. So when you got guys like Bryce Underwood and some of those, you know, really impactful players you have from Michigan, you can start kind of implementing that a little bit. I think this is great. If you're a Michigan fan, you're loving this. If you're an Ohio State fan, you're like, this could be a problem. But if you're an Oregon fan, you know how tough Whittingham is as a coach. This is going to be a challenge for you, you know, just knowing what they're able to do if you do have to play each other at some point. So, yeah, man, I think it's a great hire. And again, if this was your second choice, it lets you know Michigan is the hot chick. Michigan will always get a chance to kind of call their own shot, regardless of how bad or how inconsistent they've been over X amount of time.
I'm also curious as to how Utah fans are taking this, because it kind of seemed like when Winningham stepped down a couple weeks ago that, like, this was it for him. And I don't know if it was how this season played out. I don't know if he just kind of got this vigor back in him to, like, no, I want to keep coaching. And then Utah was like, well, we want to have Morgan Scaly be our – he's been the coach in waiting for years now. And I don't know if it was a matter of teams were calling and checking in on that and wanting Scaly, and they just didn't want to lose. I mean, I would be very curious to see how Utah fans are taking this, because I think if you were to ask them who would they rather be their head coach next year, they would want to have Kyle Whittingham still.
Probably.
Like, you know, Morgan Scaly be damned. He hasn't been a head coach. Yes, he has been with the program forever. He is a Utah guy through and through, and you want to keep that, like, continuity in the program. But Kyle Whittingham has brought such success to that program in his time in Utah. Has it been led to a playoff? Has it led to, you know, a deep postseason run? No, but
that's the thing.
Also, you have to wonder, like, all right, well, what are the expectations at Utah? Is that you can win the Big 12 and that you can be a top four seed, top five seed, whatever, and making that run? I don't know. I would think that Utah fans, though, would be pretty upset, not at Whittingham for taking this job, but at how this played out and that Utah maybe forced his hand a little
bit. Listen, sometimes the worst thing you can be is just good. Right, we're seeing this in Pittsburgh right now. People really want Mike Tomlin out, and Mike Tomlin has been great every year of his coaching career, but still not Super Bowl great like he was at the beginning. Whittingham has been amazing as a head coach, but he hasn't won anything, and so I think that's why you look at that right now for Utah and you say we can get ready to move on. It's been a great 20 years, but it just hasn't worked the way we want it to work. Even though you're still Utah, we need to find something else. So, hey, we'll see if that works out for you, because I think Michigan is in a much better space to do well before we see Utah do well.
Yeah. I mean, always love storylines and different teams, so why you got to pay attention to them, you know, and this gives you all more reason to keep an eye on Michigan. I mean, at least for Duck fans. I mean, I forget who their opponents are next year. I think you have Michigan at home next year. I'd have to double check. Dusty was just in the other room. He probably would have known. But yeah, I mean, Duck fans, you don't have to worry about Kyle Whittingham for the last couple of years. Well, he's right back in the conference, at least for the next 5 years. And then Utah will be intriguing to see what the trajectory of their program looks like with Morgan Scaly running things now going forward. So, hour number three coming up, right? Hour number three, hour number four. I'm losing track of time. I don't know what the hell is even going on. But I want to do top sports moments of 2025. My definitive list, 15 through 1. We'll do 15 through 11 today, 10 through 6 tomorrow, 5 through 1 on Wednesday. We also have some broadcast lowlights from over the weekend I wanted to get to, because whenever you can make fun of ESPN, I mean, going to take that opportunity. And who knows what else we'll get to. Hour number four, Dirt and Sprague, Rashad Taylor, Joe Fisher here on the Fan Sports Network.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.